Good evening. Invite your attention tonight back to the book of Jonah, this time chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. And this morning, I think I forgot to say it, but Brother Gabe and your brethren in Kingsport send their love and greetings. You know, I was just thinking, I mentioned this morning that I was tired, and I got a good nap today, but I'm tired again. But the songs we keep singing just keep getting me excited to tell us again of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And I was just sitting there thinking, singing that last song. We're singing it nice and slow like you guys do, and I love it every time. And really let you enter into it sometimes. And I was just thinking, this is what we're going to do forever. Y'all mention all the time, our time is coming, we're going to leave here. Not out the doors, I mean leave here, the world. And pass into the new heaven and the new earth to be with our Lord. There's going to be one preacher there, you know that? It ain't going to be me, I'm so thankful. It ain't going to be Donnie, it ain't going to be Gabe, it ain't going to be Don, it ain't going to be Henry. It's going to be our Lord. And we're all going to sit at His feet. And we're going to hear Him speak. And I'm looking forward to that. Just that very thought got me excited to get up here for a few minutes and look into His Word again. Pray He might truly bless us. Jonah chapter 2. So this morning we looked at chapter 1. We saw Jonah, God's prophet here. We saw him blatantly disregard God and His command to go to Nineveh. And then we saw God's goodness to him in spite of him. And I love that. Like I said, I can see myself in Jonah. I do nothing but sin against my God. I should be thankful and praising Him every moment, but I'll just be honest with you, I'm not. More often than not, I'm not. Okay? And yet, in spite of me, in spite of who I am, what I do continually, God has nothing but goodness for me. Shows you who gets the glory, don't it? It ain't us. We saw the God of all grace, and that's who He is. That's the God we serve. The God of all grace. Gracious God. Loving kind God. Merciful, forgiving. We saw Him overrule Jonah's evil for much good. Not only to Jonah, but to all those sailors. And that just blesses my heart to read what the Lord did for them. And we saw Jonah as a picture of us and a picture of Christ. It's all about Christ. Now, I'd like to pick up where we left off, and we'll actually start with the last verse we looked at, Jonah 1, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now, chapter 2, it's a short chapter. I pray this message will be short. This whole second chapter is about Jonah in the belly of this fish. What took place while Jonah was in the fish's belly. Alright? Now let's look here. Verse 1 of chapter 2. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice." Here Jonah is. He's just been swallowed by a fish or a whale. Had to be a big fish, right? What does he do? He prayed. What else could he do? But you know what? I say that, but we don't read about him complaining. When a trial comes my way, that's the only thing I do. He prayed. And I'm glad he did. You know, not long ago, Jonah was there sleeping on a boat, carelessly, not even caring about what he just done. You remember God used that captain, that shipmaster, to go wake him up. He was awake then, and buddy, you better believe he's awake now. In the belly of a fish. We can't even imagine such a circumstance. And here he is. God put him there. Isn't it obvious? Now, remember, Jonah, he put himself in trouble. He got himself in trouble. That's where we are because of our sin. But then God in mercy, and I want us to remember that as we go through this, God in mercy put him in that fish. When they threw him off that boat, Yes, God preserved him to be a picture of Christ. God used Jonah physically to be the physical substitute for those sailors. And here he's about to use this whale to physically substitute for Jonah. It's all a picture of Christ. But when they threw him off that boat, God didn't have to cause that fish to come right where he was and swallow him up. It's amazing that he did, isn't it? Truly amazing. And here he is in this fish, and he's praying. And you know this, but when do we find ourselves praying? When we have a need. You think Jonah had a need? Here he is stuck in the stomach of a fish. He found himself poor and needy. And we pray needing God to hear us. We need him to hear us. And if you notice at the end of verse 2, he said, I cried and thou heardest me. Thou heardest my voice. Do you know why God will hear us? He hears us because he hears his Son, in whom he's well pleased. This prayer that we're going to look at here, it's Jonah's prayer, but it's also our Lord's prayer. He said, out of the belly of hell. Jonah wasn't in hell. Do you know where Christ went to save us? We'll see it here in the verse in just a minute. He hears us because he hears Christ. Now look here, verse 3. He said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. You recall, who threw Jonah off the boat? He just said, thou cast me into the deep. Who threw him off the boat? Look back at chapter 1, verse 14. The sailors, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. You did this, Lord. But then the very next verse says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Who did it? They did. Yeah, they did. Well, God did. Yes, he did. Who crucified our Lord? You by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. And yet, it was determined by the foreknowledge and counsel of God. God did it. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Did we do it? Yep. We're guilty. His blood's on our hands. That's what our Father said. Let it be on our hands. And yet God did it. I love that. Blessing my heart to know it. Verse 3 again in chapter 2. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah was cast into the depths of the sea, but our Lord went far deeper than that. We can say what the scriptures say, but we just can't understand just how far down he went on purpose for us. You know, we're going to be lifted up, literally lifted up with him in the skies. That's what the scriptures say, 1 Thessalonians 4, and in glory, lifted up. For us to be lifted up, he had to be cast down, down as far as he could go. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Notice, Jonah didn't cry that. Jonah, he's in a pitiful state right here. He didn't cry that. He couldn't cry that. Because he had not been forsaken by God. He hadn't. He couldn't be because Christ was forsaken for him. You know, Jonah, I imagine he felt forsaken. I imagine he felt forsaken. He felt like all hope is lost. Look at me. Look at where I got myself. Though it sometimes feels like God has forsaken us, please remember this, brothers and sisters, and I pray God will help me to remember it. He will not forsake us. He won't do it. Christ was forsaken in our place. We won't be forsaken too. He said concerning his people that he went to prepare a place for us. He said he's going to bring us with him. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Take that to heart. Take it. Remember it. Pray God cause us to dwell on it. Now, this matter of being cast out and forsaken, somebody had to. Because of sin. Because of our sin, somebody had to be cast out. Sin had to be punished. And you know why hell is eternal? Why, if we die in our sins, we'll be forever in hell, is because we can never satisfy God's holy justice. But Christ can, and he did. Well, I'm glad he was cast out in my place, aren't you? I'm glad I won't have to suffer my sins forever, and that he died to put away my sin, and he did. Forever. Verse 5 right here says, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." This matter of Christ being forsaken, this matter of Christ being cast out in our place, how could that be? How could He's God. How could God forsake God? How could God die? He's God. He died. How could this happen? Only one way. First of all, it must have been an act of God. And second, He was made sin. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Christ knew no sin. No guile was found in His mouth. He only did that which was right and just and holy and good. That's all He did. That's all He was, is nothing but goodness, the goodness of God personified. And yet for Him to die, for Him to be forsaken, He must be made something that He was not. Sin. Made Himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we... He didn't do it so that, well, maybe somebody... No, He did it so that we shall be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was made something He's not, and He made us to be something we're not, and we could never be on our own or by any works of our flesh. I rejoice to know it. And where Jonah here, he said, "The weeds were wrapped about my head." Christ wrapped Himself head to toe in the weeds of our sin and filth. You know, they put that crown of thorns on His head. From head to toe, He became what we are. And He made us head to toe to be what He is. You know, to be perfectly conformed to His image. Can you imagine anything greater? Honestly. You think of how disgusting we are. Sometimes in our own sight, but imagine what we look like to Him in His flesh. And yet He made us to look exactly like His spotless Son. Oh my. One with Him. He is the righteousness of God. And He said, "This is the name wherewith she, my bride, shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Same name as Him. One with Him, perfect in Him. It feels like right now we're separated from Him, doesn't it? Because we're in this flesh, we have these two natures warring against one another. We know which one's winning, don't we? It's already won. The battle's over. It's finished. The elder shall serve the younger. That old man we've been living with is going to serve that new man. Well, sir, Christ in us, sin shall not have dominion over us. We're going to drop this body of flesh. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. We're going to look just like Him. We're going to be forever with our Lord. Now, here in this fish's belly, Jonah was troubled. He was troubled. He said there in verse 5, "even to the soul." But by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, Jonah had a good hope. It was exactly what I'm here telling you about. He had a good hope in Christ. And I pray we do too. In verse 6, he went on to say, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Jonah, literally, he hit rock bottom. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but in studying this, I read that the tallest mountain in the world is actually underwater. He said, "That's where I sank to, the bottom of the mountains." The lowest he could go. You ever feel like you've hit rock bottom? I really don't know if I have. I mean, I feel troubled often, but I mean rock bottom. You just utterly in despair. Well, that's where our brother was. And spiritually speaking, that's where I want to be. It's where I need to be. To have no goodness in myself. Nothing to cling to in here. You know, it saddens me when I hear people talk about their faith and anything that gives any boasting to us, because all boasting belongs to Him. I'm telling you, there's nothing I can glory in. You know, we think we're wise. You know, I mentioned earlier, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." That convicts me because I know that I am. And it disgusts me when I think about it. I want to be wise in Christ. I want Him to be all my righteousness. You know, we think we're good. We do something or give, and we think, "Oh, I did something good." Brethren, we're filthy. We're not good. We're evil. If bad don't cut it, we're worse than bad. Christ is good. He's so good. I need Him to be my all in all. Jonah did, and God's teaching him that. And I pray He'd teach us that too. Cause us to have nothing but Him. To have nothing to cling to in here, and to find ourselves clean completely to Him. Pray that's where we might find ourselves. May Christ be all our hope from start to finish. And turn back here with me to, we're going to look at a couple verses in the Psalms. Look with me at Psalm 16. So hold a finger in the Psalms after we look at this. We'll go back to Jonah and then come back. Psalm 16 and verse 10. Jonah had said at the end of verse 6, "Thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Here is a picture of Christ. Psalm 16 verse 10 says, this is speaking of Christ, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Well, that verse right there tells me Christ went to hell for his people. But he said, "You won't leave my soul there." When Christ arose, that was proof. God did not leave his soul there. He brought him out because he made satisfaction. His death atoned for our sin. The resurrection is proof. He satisfied all he came to do. He put away the sins of his people forever. He said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul there, and you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption." Christ shout, he was made sin, but he was not made to see corruption. Explain it. You forget it. I don't know. All I know is God said it, and I believe it. By his grace, I believe it. God settles it. God said it, that settles it. And I'm thankful he gave me faith to believe it. All right. And look back in Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. And let me say this. He will not suffer Christ to see corruption. I just mentioned this corruption is going to put on incorruption. You know, all we are in this flesh is corruption. God said we're going to become incorruption. That's a blessed thought. You know, as we get older, me and Houston will be 30 this year. Or, well, you may be next year, actually. I don't know. But anyway, we're getting old. And I'll go out and I'll exercise, then my hip will hurt for a week, and then I'll go and I'll get hurt, and something else will hurt for a couple weeks. And I mean, it's a reminder that literally, physically, we're corruption. We corrupt ourselves physically, but we've corrupted ourselves spiritually, as far corrupt as we could. And we understand that? And God says, we're going to put on incorruption. What a blessed thought. In Christ, what Christ is what we are. It's what he made us to be, one with him. One with him, he himself. Whatever he is, that's what he made us to be. Perfect, incorrupt, spotless, holy, righteousness. That's what he's made us to be. That's, you know, for anybody that is still trusting in themselves, oh, may God have mercy on your soul. May he cause us to truly need him. We ever see how beautiful he is and just how putrefying, wretched we are? Oh, we'll run to him. Pray God will cause us to. All right, Jonah 2, verse 7. He said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." By God's grace, God preserved Jonah, put him in this fish's belly. He put it on Jonah's heart to pray out, call unto the Lord. His soul fainted within him. Again, he hit the bottom. And he said, "My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." Sometimes we're troubled. And I told you, my first reaction, my natural inclination is to complain. To murmur and complain. Why me? I truly pray this. I'm troubled by some things right now. I'm sure you are too. And you mentioned all our brethren going through trials and tribulations. I pray sincerely God would enable us to remember our Lord. There's a song, we sing it sometimes. It's called "In Tenderness He Sought Me." It says, "Oh, the love that sought me." Remember the love that sought you. "Oh, the blood that bought me." You remember that blood that was shed to redeem your soul and your body. "Oh, the grace that brought me to his fold." Remember his love, everlasting love, perfect love, saving love. Remember his blood, that spotless, perfect, pure, sin-atoning blood shed to redeem sinners from all their sins. And that free, sovereign, amazing grace that God so freely bestows to all his people. You remember that. And remember that all of that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Him. Remember, He's going to remember us. Yeah, that thief cried, "Lord, remember me." He did. He's going to remember all His people. And I pray while we walk this earth that He'll cause us to remember Him. Remember Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Verse 8, Jonah said, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Every time I read that, it feels out of place to me. Every time I get to that, I think that. But what Jonah's saying here, Jonah is owning up to what he is. Jonah is calling out unto the Lord whom he needs to save him, to help him, to get him out of that fish's belly. And then he's confessing something. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I forsake lying vanities, observe lying vanities, forsake mercy." Jonah knew that's what he was. He knew that's what he'd done, and I know it too. God has been so good to me, and yet every day of my life I take it for granted. You just acknowledge the fact that Jonah was a prophet of God. Told him, "You go to Nineveh, you preach to them. Cry out against their wickedness that's come up before me." And Jonah's response was, "No, God. I'm going to do what I want to do." As a child of God. You think he took being a prophet of God for granted? Sure seems like it, don't it? You think he took being a child of God for granted? You think in chapter 4, right after God had saved Nineveh, showed mercy to who knows how many people, and the Lord has to ask him, "Should I not? Shouldn't I be gracious and merciful to them, Jonah?" You think he took God's mercy for granted? Of course he did. And I do too. I'm no better. But I pray that as we look at this, that it would convict us, that we would see ourselves, that we would truly see just how awful we are right now. Not how bad I was 10 years ago. I mean right now. Well, I'm sitting in a pew. I'm going to church. I'm worshiping God by His grace. Yes, you are. And yes, I am too. And I'm so thankful because my flesh wouldn't put me here. My heart, people want to talk about their good heart and get and keep their heart right with God. There ain't but one good heart, and that's Christ's heart. God sees the heart of man that it's desperately wicked. Every imagination of the thought of it. We need that new heart. We need the very heart and mind of Christ our Savior. Jonah's prayer and mine was, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's all I am. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your grace. What's Your story? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. That's it. I'm never going to grow beyond that. I don't want to grow beyond that. I'm pursuing an education right now. I pray I only grow lower and lower. You know, the Lord gives us means and we pursue them, and that's fine. I ought to do what we can. But I'm telling you, spiritually, there ain't a thing we can do. Pray God would cause us to look to Christ. You know, we mentioned a couple verses ago, "I look toward Thy holy temple." That's Christ. The temple of God. And you know what? He said to His people, "You're the temple of God," because we're in Him, one with Him. All right, look at verse 9 with me. "But I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." It's a part of a verse we quote probably about more than any, isn't it? Salvation's of the Lord. And I thought, you think about where he was when he said that. When he prayed, he's praying that. We say it a lot. We say it up here in the pew. We say it in conversation. Jonah prayed that from a whale's belly. Salvation's of the Lord. You know who needs salvation? Sinners. That's it. And I've heard it said that, I'm not saying about me, I've just heard that people may react like this, saying, "Well, I don't like how you talk about our sins so much." You know what? I need to hear my sin talked about a lot, and that I am a sinner, because that's who Christ came to save. That's who God loves. That's who Christ died for. That's who's going to find the Savior. That's who's going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, is sinners. Sinners a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made them so. Sinners have been made righteous in Christ. Well, That's what I wanted. The sinners are going to be interested in salvation that's of the Lord. Not salvation that we can work. Not salvation that we can do something to attain. It's not our work. It's His work. That's what it means. It's of the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's the Lord's. It's His work. It's all of Him. It's all of Him. Now, notice this too. Jonah was in the whale's belly when he cried that. He was at his lowest point when he tells us salvation's of the Lord. What's your hope, Jonah? The Lord. Well, who put you in the whale's belly, Jonah? Well, who did he tell us? He said the Lord did. And that's your hope? Yep. Song y'all sing, He hath done all things well. Our Lord hath done all things well. We will look to the Lord when we feel our need of Him. When we feel the guilt and the weight and the burden of our sin, we'll look to Him and we'll see it all forgiven. It's all taken away. Pray God would cause us to look to Christ now. I pray He'd cause us to look to Christ in the bad times. This was a bad time for Jonah. He wasn't happy. He was where he needed to be. But I pray God would cause us to seek Him, to seek His will. We don't know what's best. He does. To seek His glory, to sing His praise, and to worship Him in times of trouble and in times of happiness. Whatever my lot, may He teach me to say, it's well with my soul, salvation's of the Lord. You know, as I'm getting older, I'm beginning to realize that often the greatest blessings come in the most trying of times. Has that been your experience? You know, people rarely, I feel like, think of God when everything's going well. And that's why it's good to be in trouble. Because maybe, just maybe, God will cause us to need Him. And if He does, He'll cause us to have Him, to find Him. Verse 9 again, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Right here, where Jonah's doing something similar to what those sailors did. He's vowing a vow. A sacrifice unto the Lord. It's a vow of praise. It's a sacrifice of praise and adoration and gratitude, worship. That's what it is. You know, people trust in, I say people, but it's all of us by nature. But this religious world, they're trusting in something that they have vowed. I gave my heart to the Lord. I decided to follow the Lord. I'm living for God, right? I hear it all the time. I know it's so. That's not what Jonah's saying. He just said salvation's of the Lord. It's not of works of righteousness which I've done. It's of your mercy. Jonah was saved by mercy. Jonah was a mercy beggar. That's what he's doing here in the belly of that fish. And that's what I pray we'll all find ourselves doing by the grace of God. You know, only God can truly pay that which He vowed. He vowed to save a people. Christ vowed to come and be surety for His people. And guess what? He is. He did. He did what He came to do. He didn't leave part of it for us to finish up. The Holy Spirit has sealed us with He's given us faith. And that faith can rest in Christ. We know whom we believe. We know He's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to keep all that which God has caused us to commit to Him. We committed everything to Him, ain't we? By God's grace, we're trusting in Him and Him alone. And that's enough. Vow to vow to trust the Lord. I pray God would keep us, that He'd give us faith, and that He would keep us looking to Christ. Now look back in the Psalms with me real quick. Psalm 130. And it doesn't tell us who wrote this psalm. You know, a lot of the psalms were written by David. My Bible just says a song of degrees. But I'm telling you, when I read this, I just see it as Jonah speaking, literally, from what we're looking at. This, I'm not saying I think Jonah wrote it. I'm just saying he could have taken these words and made them his own. And I pray we can too. Look here, let's read the first four verses, Psalm 130. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Can't you see that being Jonah's prayer right here in Jonah chapter 2, he's crying out of the depths, Lord, please hear me. I'm crying, hear me. Lord, if you should mark iniquities, well, buddy, And Jonah committed iniquity, you better believe it. And he said, if you mark him, I'm hopeless. I'm a goner. And praise God, there's forgiveness with him. That's hope. That's hope for me. I've sinned against God, but there's forgiveness with him that he may be fearing. I'm so thankful it's so. Look right down here, verse 8. It says, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Do you need to be redeemed from your iniquities? You need your sin to be forgiven? Jonah did. And he found forgiveness with God. With him is plenteous redemption. How much you need? He's got enough. He's got enough for all of us. Enough mercy for all of us. So thankfully, you know, we keep sinning. Shall we continue in sin? And shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And yet we find ourselves sinning all constantly, mixed with everything we do. And yet there's forgiveness with him. There's plenteous redemption. There's mercy with our Lord. So thankful. All the sin that Jonah did, God answered all that sin with mercy after mercy after mercy. Do we see what we are in our flesh? Do we see what is coming to us apart from God's intervention for us? It's not good. That's putting it nice. It ain't good. But do we see what we have in Christ? A good hope that endureth, peace, rest, perfect rest to us is promised in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for salvation that's of the Lord. Look back in our text, Jonah 2. We'll wrap this up. Jonah 2, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I love thinking about the Lord talking to the fish. I'm not even a big fish person, but I just love reading that. He said to that fish, you spit out my prophet. And when the Lord spake that, it vomited out Jonah. Did it spit him out in the water? Did Jonah have to swim to shore? Nope. We don't have to wonder. It says it spat him out on the dry land. I love that. Now, just thinking about this account, I don't know what amazes me more. The fact that the Lord used a fish, prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. And literally, Jonah, he gets thrown off that boat and whoosh, into the fish's mouth and belly he goes. And then he sinks low and low and low and low to the bottom of the mountains. Or does it amaze me more that God says, fish, you spit out Jonah. Spits him out right there on the dry land and off Jonah goes marching to Nineveh. I don't know what amazes me more. But I tell you what amazes me is that God did it all. We sing that song, Jesus paid it all. I'm so thankful he did. Thankful none was left up to me. And right here again, this is a picture of Christ our Lord. He prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. That great, the body was, it tells us this in Hebrews, a body was prepared for him. God prepared it for him. You know, there was no room in the inn for him when he was born. Was it by accident? God prepared it that way. He prepared it that way. Said he had no place to lay his head. God purposed it to be so. And when Christ was crucified, yeah, it says Pilate delivered him to the will of the people. But like we just saw a minute ago, that was God's doing. I pray it's marvelous in our eyes. Right here, when God causes this fish to vomit out Jonah, picture of Christ rising out of that grave on the third day, victorious over sin, death, and hell. Amazing. And Jonah came out on dry land, like those children of Israel. What a miracle. Walking through the midst of that sea, you'd imagine it'd be a little muddy. Nope. They walked on dry ground. God's people don't walk in muddy ground. We don't have mud on our feet. You know, I suppose that's a picture of sin. And in Christ, we have none. We walk on dry ground because we walk in Him. We live, move, and have our being in Him. Christ went to the depths of the sea for us. He took all that. It was all wrapped around Him. He took our place, and it's finished. Next time you hear that verse quoted, you think about Jonah. You think of where this man was when he told us that by the inspiration of God, which he's preserved for us this day, salvation is of the Lord. May God bless that to our hearts. Amen. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for being so good to us in spite of us. Oh, that we might have some understanding of just how vile we are before you in this flesh, and just how holy and perfect and pure and beautiful our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. We know He's that to you, and I pray that He might be that to us, that He might truly be our all in all. Thank you for our brother Jonah. Thank you for all that is recorded here, for your glory and for our good. Thank you for not leaving salvation to us, but that you completed it all. Thank you that salvation truly is of the Lord. Pray you would cause us to feel our need of you, to loathe ourselves and to run to Christ, to cling to Him. Lord, I know you're found of them that sought you not, but I pray that you might cause us to be found, cause us to seek you and find you, cause us to look for you with all our heart. Please forgive us of our sin, for it is great. And please be merciful to us sinners and our loved ones, our children, our Lord, there's so many that we pray for constantly. And truly, we beg you that you might do for them what you've done for us. What you did for Jonah, what you did for those sailors and the Ninevites. Lord, you're a God of mercy, and we rejoice to know it. We rejoice to know that you delight to show it. And we pray that you would show it to many for your glory. Please bless these words to our hearts and be with us as we go home, and cause us to seek you continually, Lord, and bless us and keep us, direct our steps for Christ's sake. Amen.